Got it. Thank you very much. You can be seated. It's on. Thank you. It's good to be here. How many of you are excited to go to Christmas Lights tonight? I can tell. How many of you are going with someone of the opposite gender tonight? How many are not? Hopefully you can enjoy your time and that maybe it holds off on the rain so you'd enjoy that. I appreciate your excitement this morning. I'm sure it's more for hearing the Word of God than it is for going tonight to the Christmas lights. Is that true? I'm sure not all of you feel that way. I know it's exciting to get to the end of a semester. Some of you, this may even near the end of your tenure here, and you're getting ready to graduate. Who does that affect? How many of you, that's you? Some of you, raise your hand. Some of you are just kind of doing this. Might be a little more excited. Raise your hand. So congratulations to you. Hopefully you can finish strong in your last couple finals. Find what the Lord has for you. But all of you here today, we're going to try to hit something that may be applicable and helpful to all of us, because I know if you're like me, sometimes we fall into this rhythm of having external conformity, and you're in a good place, and you are, and you're around good people, and I'm guessing you are, and you're around a lot of things that are taught to you right, and you're kind of falling into that rhythm. But if we're not careful, that external conformity can actually hurt our internal character. Sometimes as we fall into this rhythm, and it can be a spiritual discipline, it can be good behaviors, it can be something that as you're plodding along in life, you have good intentions. But if we're not careful, sometimes that external conformity can actually let our internal character dry up and dissipate, and we lose sight of what is really important. So I'm just going to hopefully at least push a reset button for you, and I know it does for me when I think through teaching something like this. Hopefully it's beneficial or helpful for you as well. So we're going to talk today a little bit about our internal view of character and what does that actually look like. And yes, there's even some Christmas ornaments Craig put in just for all of you and your Christmas lights. Yes. How many of you still have something you're excited to get this year for Christmas and you look forward to receiving a gift? Going home. I know. Sleep, food, and going home. That's all you really care about. I'm sure several, how many of you right now, you have something you're excited to give someone else this Christmas? Some of you are lying right now. You are the other person we're talking about. But let me jump into this. So we can make the mistake of measuring, everybody listen, God's faithfulness by how well he meets our personal agendas. You can start to determine if I have the right external conformity, if I have the right behaviors, if I'm modeling what I think externally a Christian look like, God can meet my personal agenda. And you start understanding, God, if I do this, then you can do this. And there are certain promises in the Bible and the way you live, especially in Proverbs and different things, if you apply certain disciplines and characters, I understand there are benefits that come with that. But it can be taken a step beyond that. You start thinking God owes you. You start thinking that as you live a certain way, God needs to come down and say, oh, you did that. Let me make sure all of this is smoothed out for you. You can start thinking, if I make sure I read my Bible every day, God, you see that. Now you owe me. This can be a dangerous way to live because you can start having a personal agenda for God. And that's not bad that you want to have a close relationship as long as it's not you dictating what you think God's agenda should be for you. Because we're going to look at why that might be a problem. As long as our priority in life is Jesus Christ and his character or his agenda for you, we'll be fine. But sometimes as we do the externals, we lose sight of the internals. Which is you start looking at God, do this for me and I'll do this for you. It's a give and take relationship. And as long as he keeps giving, you'll keep taking and you'll keep giving the other way. But our pursuit is to become more Christ-like, like Christ. That's our pursuit. Our pursuit is to conform to his image. It's to meet his goals for us. And sometimes I have found in my life that my goals compete with his goals. I'm at a crossroads. And sometimes I want to cling to my goals and show him my external conformity and say, God, but you kind of owe me because I've done this and this and this. And if we're not careful, we can easily fall into that trap. In some cases, it's easier to fall into that trap when you're seeking God and you're in a very spiritually minded environment. Sometimes we like to compartmentalize. Maybe you don't do this, but I see this pretty frequently. You have a religious side of your life and you have a secular side of your life. When you have this, and you'll see this with people that you probably work with in your ministries, and if we're not careful, it'll become us. They have a religious side of their life, which is when I go to church. And so they set their Bibles down when they go to church. It's almost like they take their Bible up or take out a little box and say, God, you can come with me. We're going to do the spiritual side of life. Maybe for you, it's when you go out and witness to people and do your ministry. Say, God, come with me because I'm getting ready to do your work. Man, God, I want you with me. But there are other secret areas of your life or your work areas of life or your personal areas of life. You say, well, God, go ahead and go back into your box. Because this is my side of life. This is my secular side of life. This is where I want to call the shots. This is where my rules apply, not your rules apply. And we can start compartmentalizing our life. There are parts of your heart or some actions that you have that don't invite Christ in. And if we're not careful, we start justifying why it's okay to have that. And we start separating areas of your life. You start having secret goals or secret actions. And you justify it because your religious side of your life compensates in your mind for the secular side of your life. But the problem with that is God's main interest is what goes on inside of you, not around you. God is very interested in what your heart wants. He is very interested in what you want on the inside and how you're changing on the inside. God does not mind the external actions that may be very beneficial and good, but God is very interested in having a heart-to-heart conversation with all of us and knowing exactly what our hearts want. And when you start compartmentalizing, then God is cut off from the other side of your heart. And God cannot get to know you and influence you and have the same impact on your life because you have shut God off from parts of your life. Romans 8:29 says this, for whom he did foreknow, and he does know who you are, and he did know you before you even knew yourself, and God knew the path you're going to take. He knows. He has a plan for each of you. Now, I've noticed some people don't think they have a plan, maybe because of their past actions, maybe you just have a low self-esteem, maybe you don't really believe God can do something through you. I would challenge you to find that in the Bible because I really feel God has a plan for each of you today. God has a future for each of you today. If you've made mistakes or you come from a home where you think, I don't have the privileged upbringing of someone else, God knows that and he did that for a reason and he can use that to your benefit. And God can work through you and do an amazing work because he foreknow. And he did also predestinate. So God visualizes and has a vision plan of what you can achieve. He actually knew you and says, wow, look at that potential. Look at what they can achieve or accomplish. Look what I can do with them. God wants to be a partner of your plan that he has for your life. He wants you to invite him on this journey. That's why we're supposed to become Christ-like. How do we do that? That to be conformed to the image of his son. His son, Jesus, when he asked, what can you do on the earth, just always said, I don't know, I'm just going to do the will of my Father. He didn't worry about external conformity. In fact, they saw it as one having authority because he didn't concern himself with what others thought of him. He was concerned about his heart and his fellowship with his Father, God. And that dictated his external actions. Sometimes we get it backwards. But our job is to conform to the image of his son. How are we doing in that area? that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has such a heart and a plan for all of us and what he wants us to do. Now, sometimes people get a little bit carried away with this and they think what spirituality looks like. And actually, as they start living this way, they think they have to be super spiritual. Anybody here ever have someone that you feel is almost spooky spiritual right now? Anybody have that like you? I'm people that is you. You're the spooky spiritual one. I had guys that I went to school with, and they would actually start speaking in these and thous because they thought that made them more spiritual. And as impressive as that was, I'm not sure that did it. You do not have to wear a robe or sandals, and you certainly don't have to say verily, verily before each sentence to emulate Jesus. Now, as soon as I say that, you know what someone's going to try to start doing next week? Oh, that's a good idea. Someone here is probably going to start, maybe not the Roman sandals, but you're going to start speaking in verily, 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 I say unto thee, oh, my word, can you please stop it? Some of you guys are going to try to impress your girlfriends tonight on the Christmas lights. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, it is a nice day. Girls, you have my permission, if that happens, to get up and change seats. All right, right in the middle of the day. But some of us start conforming externally, and we try to live to impress others around us that we are Christ-like by our external actions. We try to brag and we try to throw off, look at how spiritual I am. We try to start showing how Christ-like we are by doing and proving certain things to say, hey, look at me. Look how good I am. Look at what I'm doing here in this area of my life, in my ministry. Look at my giving. Look how spiritual I am. Look as I teach here in the Bible. And let me show you how spiritual I am. And we're trying so hard for that external validation. And we try so hard to impress people around us. But my goal today is to get you to actually look inside of you, at your internal view of your personal character. And who knows that better than you and God? I want you to really take a hard look on the inside today. Character development is not always comfortable, but our character is more important than our comfort. I know it can be very comfortable. And you can fall into patterns that, again, by the way, I'm not criticizing, they can be very good patterns, but you can fall into such a comfortable pattern that you cease working on your internal integrity or your character. And you stop growing internally, and you try to start showing more externally. And we're going to look in a couple minutes at the detriment that can have on you and your growth and your spirituality. Character development can take work. Character development can be very uncomfortable. In fact, if we're not careful, especially in our society, they say a human being can become addicted to comfort, just like anything else. And as we become addicted to comfort, we become dissatisfied. Because we go to a climate-controlled room, to a climate-controlled classroom, to a climate-controlled vehicle, at least I'm guessing most of your heaters in your vehicles work, and then going to a climate-controlled area after area, going to a comfortable bed, going to all these things, getting the food we want. We can do that and live so long every day where we're so used to comfort, we don't know what discomfort really is. And for the majority, in fact, a huge percent of history, that's not been true. People have had to live uncomfortable lives, and they've had to endure and work very hard just to survive. We're in a different phase of history, and we actually have to get comfortable being uncomfortable and doing the hard work that character requires. So what causes this conflict? What can we do? I think we look today, we're going to take just a couple minutes to look at our hard heart. If we can get a hard heart, this can actually, what are you laughing at the picture right there? Some of you, that's the guy trying to talk the girl into getting on the bus with him tonight. Put the leash on, start pulling. I always love someone calling out the name, and that person probably has not had a date in all the years that he's been here in college. So, what is hard heart? Hard heart is overexposure and under-response to truth. This is why a place like this, as helpful as it can be, and as much as they try to help, if we're not careful, we can fall into such a pattern that we are exposed to so much truth it can become an overexposure. And when you get exposed too long and you do nothing about it, you develop an under-response mechanism, which means that you don't do anything about it. You're exposed and given and given and given and given and given and given and given. And you know what you say? I'm going to think about whatever. You zone out. You sit there. You read the Bible. You follow the disciplines. You get through it. You exist for a while. You make it through a semester. And you externally conform enough to stay here, but you're neglecting your softening of your heart. And you develop a hard heart or an under response to actual truth. Our hearts can lose spiritual sensitivity when we say no for too long. If we're not careful, the sensitivity you had at some point in your life to conforming to the image of a son. And my guess is most of you in the room can remember back to a time when you were very spiritually sensitive. The Spirit of God moved in your heart and you instantly were excited and listened and said, what changes do you have for me today? How can I conform to be more what you want me to be? And yet we lose the response to that because we become callous to it. Have any of you started saying no to the promptings of your heart, your conscience, the Holy Spirit? Have any of you kind of developed the hard skin that comes when you hear the same truth over and over, the same conviction over and over, and yet you don't respond to it? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I understand what people say when I'm going to follow my heart. I understand that. But if we're not careful, if we truly follow that saying and just fulfill our heart's desires, it can lead us down a path with regret and remorse. You have to keep the spiritual sensitivity, your internal desire to conform to the image of his son is a real thing. Now, sometimes people come to college here with great intentions and a very soft heart. Now, it may take a semester, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, but at some point, there's always a temptation to say, I've got it figured out. I know the system. I know how to pull it off on the weekends. I know how to put on the appearance of looking like I'm spiritually engaged. I know how to make it look like I'm productive in my ministry. I know how to live this life. I know how to carry my Bible. I know how to look good in class. I know how to make it through. I know how to go out and work just hard enough. I know how to smile at the right time. I know who to impress and when. I know how to be somewhat engaged, and I can make it through this life, and I can yawn my way through it, and I can live my comfortable life. I can have the secular side of my life. I can have the religious side of my life. I can invite God in when I want him, but I can have these things that I want, and I'll conform enough on the outside. But you're not interested in continuing to conform to the image of his son. And this is something all of us, myself and everyone in the room, has to be careful of. Because when that happens, we start to change Christianity to fit us. When this happens, you tend to justify your actions. This is where you can even get up and teach a lesson or preach a message or tell people to do something a certain way, and it can be very effective for them, but it's not effective for you. You start to live a very divided or hypocritical life. You tell people to live a clean and pure life, and yet you know in your heart there is a part of your actions that don't follow that same teaching. You tell people to have a clean thought life, and yet you know you struggle with that, and you justify those actions. You know that you can talk in such a way that is not pleasing to God. And yet you justify that because you have a spiritual side of your life that you think compensates for that. you start to think, I can look a certain way or perform a certain action, and that justifies other parts of my life, and it justifies why I don't have to fully conform to the image of Jesus as he did when he was on earth. If that's our goal, do you really think Jesus had a spiritual side of his life and a secular side of his life? Do you really think Jesus ever conformed externally without having internal change to drive that? Do you? Have you ever justified your actions? Have you ever started to do an action and felt a conflict and justified it? Have you done something after work that you knew was off limits and yet you justified it? Have you ever opened a browser on your phone and justified why you can do that? Have you ever gotten with your girlfriend or boyfriend and done something and justified it? Does that bother you? Do you have parts of your life that are off limits to God? And this is something we don't hear much about, where we mold the Christian life to fit our lifestyle, we become guilty of something we don't hear much about, which is idolatry. Because at that point, it's your rules that dictate what spirituality is. That puts you as God. That puts you in the driver's seat saying, this is okay because, I can do this because, you know, I can even see this at times when I've had to work with different people where one lady was very spiritual in her actions, never missed a service, did all the soul winning, and yet was incredibly disrespectful to her husband. In many different ways, I would see it. Everyone would cringe and thinking, what are you doing? You're demeaning and disrespectful to your husband, even publicly. And as that happened, we talked. She would then use Bible verses to justify why she could do that. The whole point is, you've become your own God. You can now justify why you can be disrespectful and demeaning to your husband, because you can now justify and twist the Bible to you can do anything you want because that's what you want to do. You can see men do this and be very disrespectful to women and justify their actions. Say, this is why I can treat you any way they want. This is why you have people who live double lives. This is how you have people who have a dichotomy in their own conscience and what they can do. You start becoming the determiner of what is right and what is wrong. This is how you can have people who really struggle with knowing when to show forgiveness and grace to people and when their line becomes the line. It can lead us to being very pharisaical. We can judge and be critical of everyone around us and hoping no one notices the internal struggle we are having and the lack of grace or love that we may have. Are you justifying an action in your life? Is there any hope to getting out of this if this is you? Yes. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. God can do this. A hard heart may not be an actual rebellion against God, but just not be sensitive to changing to be more like God wants us to become. So you may not be, I'm not rebelling against God, but you may be resisting and not willing to change on the inside. Your internal character may be drying up. Your personal relationship with Christ may be dying because you may think, I figured out the game. I can do all this on the external, and I can do whatever I want on the internal. I can have these whole set of actions. I'll put in this box over here and compartmentalize, and I keep God over there. And when we do that, we lose our spiritual sensitivity, and we lose the right to have a heart of flesh or a soft heart or a receptive heart to becoming more what God wants us to become. He has a place that he wants to take you. He has a will that he wants you to achieve. Are we willing to change to fit that mold and to conform to the image of his son? So, have any of you ever Probably not. I was going to say worked out. That'd be a foolish question. Have you ever done something where you get repeated action? Maybe it's working a yard. Man, if you've ever had to go out and dig and you start digging after a while, you ever done that? And you start ripping the skin off your fingers? And then all of a sudden you start feeling it sting? There's probably one of you that's actually done that before. All right, have you ever done that before? You ever done that? Oh, a few of you are lying too. All right, no, you have. All right. So you start digging, you have that, and it becomes very sensitive. You've ever ripped your skin as you're working hard and you're doing a repetitive action. And what happens if you get a job or that's your job and you have to have that? It really hurts and you try to put, you know, Band-Aids on it, or you try to put, if you try to be tough, you just, I'll put some tape on it. All right, you put some tape on it, you do that, you try to show that you're tough because, you know, Band-Aids are the mark of the beast. We all know that. We can't wear those. But Band-Aids, you put something on because it's so sensitive. You're trying to deaden it. But what happens after a while is you then develop a callus. And the calluses are tough, and the calluses protect your hands, but the calluses also prevent us from feeling the sensitivity. And the calluses are there because repeated use over and over, and then you can do those same tasks and have no sensitivity. But if we're not careful, what was once a sensitive activity spiritually, and that really awakened your senses and made you very acutely aware, wow, I need to change that. Wow, this activity really hurts. What am I doing wrong? After a while, you become spiritually calloused. And the same calling from God, the same voice of the Holy Spirit, the same conviction or promptings in your heart falls on a calloused heart. Some of us can have good intentions, it may not have horrible actions, but unknowingly, we have become spiritually calloused. And your internal character is deteriorating and declining. Maybe you haven't seen it externally yet. Maybe no one else has noticed. But if you really will look in the next 10 minutes, I'll give you a few thoughts on what you can do if you become spiritually calloused. What are some questions that you can ask yourself? So how do you know if you've grown hard and calloused? First question, am I grieved by the same things that grieve God? What grieves the heart of God today? Does that grieve me? Does that grieve you? Does it fall on deaf ears? Does it fall on a calloused heart? When you look at people today that grieve the heart of God, does that grieve your heart the same way? When you see an action, and we meet with a sin, but you know what? God grieves the heart of God is when we aren't kind and show the fruit of the Spirit and love the people around us. That grieves the heart of God. You know what grieves the heart of God? When we can't get along with our fellow people. That grieves the heart of God. And we hold grudges, and we treat people unkindly, and we don't represent Christ very well to the community. In fact, we don't represent Christ very well to others in this room. That grieves the heart of God. Does that grieve yours? Next question. Do I feel what God feels? What is God feeling today? I don't know. Ask. Ask. Are you willing to ask? Say, God, what grieves you today? God, what do you feel today? Are you willing to ask the question? If you want to, at least, no, look, if all you find out is you're spiritually calloused and you don't want to make a change, that's your call. But will you at least ask the questions? Will you at least see if you're calloused or not? Next, am I bothered by the things that bother him? What bothers God? Some of you right now, you know what happened? Something came to your mind. You know what you did? You pushed it aside. I know, because I've done it. You know why you pushed it aside? Because you don't want it to bother you. Some of your personal devotions got pushed aside right there. You know why? Because you don't want that to bother you. Some of you, there's someone that you need to go restore a relationship with. You know why you pushed that aside? Because you don't want to humble yourself and do that. Some of you, your heart has grown calloused and hard, and that came, and you know what? You don't want to deal with that. Next, is my heart in sync with his heart? Is your heart in sync with God? Is it in the same cadence as God? Is it beating with God, beat after beat? Is it in sync with God? Do you even crave that? Do you even desire that? All these questions are a determiner to see if we've grown hard or calloused. When what grieves and bothers God does not grieve and bother you, then your heart is hard. If you can ask yourself these questions and you come to the realization, my heart is somewhat calloused. And some of you right now, you're at a crossroads, a choice. Do I want to even change? I understand comfort may be affected. Rhythm may be affected. It's your choice if you want to say, I'm going to become spiritually sensitive. I'm going to remove the stony heart. I'm going to get the new heart of flesh. I'm going to be willing to conform to the image of a son. I'm willing to work on my internal integrity or my internal character. Because I'm more concerned about pleasing God and becoming who he saw me becoming than I am about just falling into conformity here and trying to oppress some people around me and existing in this Christian life when really you have no personal relationship with the Savior. Next question. If someone studied you for a week and observed what you laughed at, where you went, and what you allowed into your mind, what conclusions would they draw about God? Do you understand there is a decent amount of people that we come into contact with that have no idea of what God is really like or who he is? And do you know how they determine what God is like? By watching us. You know how they determine if they want to get to know God? By our actions. And I know some of us live sheltered lives, we don't have it. I talked to several people this week and I've tried to say, hey, what about God? They have no understanding of even who God is or what God's done. Sat by and talked to a guy just a couple weeks ago and we were in a dialogue. The guy's very wealthy, he's only 30 years of age, and we were talking and I started talking to him about, hey, what's your view of God? What's your view of spirituality? We started having this conversation and it was about 2 hours long. At the end he said, hold on, are you telling me that the creator of this universe that you're claiming, he actually knows me personally and has a plan for me and loves me? I said, that's exactly what I'm saying. He goes, that is so much for my mind to grasp. He has no idea. None. You know what he had any perception of what I think God is like from what I said and what how I treated him? When I realized that, the responsibility of being an ambassador for God awakens parts of me that I've let go to sleep. We fall into habits and routines and we forget that we are God's representatives to people. We are supposed to go out and show them what God is really like. So, if someone studied you for a week and observed what you laughed at, where you went, and what you allowed into your mind, what conclusions would they draw about God from your example? Where are you leading yourself and people? Character is about being conformed to his image, not conforming God to ours. We are supposed to be the ones changing. He is so gracious to us. He allows us so much rope. He gives us so much forgiveness that sometimes we think we call the shots. That's not true. God gets to call the shots. We only limit God. We are supposed to be spiritually sensitive to God and conform to what he wants us to become. So, what are some things that we can do to soften our hearts? Jesus says, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, the more I love someone, the less I am willing to tolerate anything that hurts them or they don't like. I hope that I can be mature enough that if someone says something unkind to me or attacked me, that I can truly forgive them and handle it in a way that would please God. But if you attack my children and my wife, that's probably not going to happen. A couple years ago, we were on a hike. I think it was in Alaska. It could have been somewhere else. But we were walking, and my wife and my youngest son were about 100 yards ahead of me. I was with my other son walking on a narrow path, a steep path, on a mountain. And I was just, we were talking, they were talking, and I looked up, and there were two men coming down the path, and the path was narrow, and if you had to get off, it was very steep, and it was, but I was just watching, and all they had to do was get in single file line. So I kind of kept walking, waiting for them to get single file line. And they didn't. So my wife had to kind of almost get off the path and stand on that steep, but she did, and let them by. Well, instantly, my view of God went to, I am a wrathful God. So I told my oldest son, I said, don't move. I said, we're going. So we walked down the path, and I wasn't moving. And I was hoping one of them would say or do something at that moment. Could I have taken them? I didn't care. That thought did not cross my mind. At that point, I wanted to make right what hurt my wife, in my opinion. And I did not stop, and I hope they did not know as a Christian, because I was not very Christ-like for that 30 seconds. Okay, maybe a minute. But they did have to jump off the trail, and I hoped that they would roll down the mountain. Then they started speaking in a language they were not American. So it justified, because I didn't know their language, so I couldn't have witnessed to them anyhow. But they did have to get off, and I did not care. And my son, oldest son, Dave, he liked that too. He's like, yeah. My wife is actually, you didn't have to do that. I said, I know, I enjoyed that. But if you come after my wife or hurt my wife, I'm coming after you. What if I felt that way about God? Doesn't mean you have to always defend God, but what if I was so passionate about God, if anything hurt him? Remember, grieves him? Remember how he feels? What if I was that passionate in my love for the Lord? What if my heart was that sensitive towards him? A few years ago, there was a huge guy, a competing power lifter. He's about 6'4", he's a massive guy, and there were some issues, but I went and talked to him about the Christianity, and he got in my face, and he started saying, he goes, you know what happened if I saw God? I said, no, what? He goes, I'd take him in that back room and show him what's for. I said, all right. He goes, doesn't it make you mad? I said, not at all. He goes, it doesn't? I said, no. He goes, why not? I said, you can take God back there, but he would handle himself really well. So I don't have to defend God that way. And there were some other hurts that had gone on in that guy's life where he had a very distorted view of God. And I tried to help him correct that. But is your heart soft to what grieves God and how he feels? Our hearts are softened by fellowship with the Savior. Your love of Christ will be reflected in how you treat others and what you tolerate in your life. Are you grieved by what grieves God? Are your hearts in sync with God? Have you become external conformist, but your internal willingness to change, to conform to the image of a son, is that drying up? Is there anything off limits to the Lord in your life? Anything. If you compartmentalize anything, God, this is mine, that's religious side. Are any areas excluded from him? Very last. When God exposes an area of your life, as he probably has done somewhere today, how will you choose to respond? Do you want to soften your heart? Do you want to conform to the image of a son? Do you want to push the reset button on your internal character, on your internal integrity? You want to change? Or do you want to become a professional Christian with external conformity and internal rebellion? Because we don't want God to move in, control our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for being so good to us. God, help this to be applicable to everyone in the room. God, if you have spoken to any of us, and if any of us have grown hard, calloused, unintentionally. I'm not saying people do it intentionally. Unintentionally, it just happens. You start to get into your spiritual walk. You get tired. You get weary. These students are doing a lot. They're trying to do so many things spiritually. And as they do that, God, they just fall into this habit routine, and then they neglect the internal view. And after a while, they start to realize they aren't having a relationship with you. They're just performing the actions of a Christian. God, I've done that many times. I have to push the reset button. I have to let you restore my heart. God, help us to make sure we're in sync with your heart. Help us to make sure that we're in harmony with you. If it grieves you, God, help us not to say, we're going to do it. If it makes you feel bad, God, help us to defend you and say, no, we're not going to do that because it hurts you, because our love for you is what needs to drive us. God, help anyone in the room who has this, help their hearts be softened, help them to choose to be open and receptive. Say, God, I want to change. If any of you tonight, you want to say, you know what, this is what I want to do to change. I want to have an internal view. I want my character to be right. I want to soften my heart. I want to be more at peace with God. I want to become a little more conformed to the image of His Son. If that's what you want to do, get it right now. Push the reset button. Tear off the callus. Get back the spiritual sensitivity and let God do a work in your life. God, please seal in these hearts. Help us be effective ambassadors for you. And make sure we're in sync with what you want us to do. Father, please be with us. Amen.